All right, well, today we are going to do revival of the heart. And I think this is almost ultimately the very first thing that we need to take care of first and foremost is our heart. If we want to be revived, the heart is the biggest organ, right? In the body. If something's wrong with our heart, bam, we're dead. Okay? We think of the lungs too. Well, the heart is also the seat of our appetites, and we're going to look at some of these things today, but we need our hearts revived. And last week we talked about what is revival, and now, hang on just a second, I'm not seeing it coming up on the screen. So, again, our heart is the very thing that needs to be revived first. And I have available some of my books that it's called Revive, Rebuild, and Restore. And this is what I'm speaking out of, okay? And I wrote this book just because of my passion wanting to see revival. And God was showing me all the different areas of our life that needs to be revived, rebuilt, and restored. And so if you would like to pick up one of those books and go along with us as we do this series throughout the next few weeks. And the chapter is Revival of the Heart, and so you're going to see that in the book, and you'll be able to just even dig in deeper, or there's other chapters that we're going to look at, and I'll bring it in on a Sunday morning, okay? So, all right, well, Psalms 69:32 says, "The humble shall see and be glad. You who seek God, inquiring for and inquiring Him as your first need, let your hearts revive and live." As your first need. It's like this should be our number one priority, is to seek God and to inquire of Him for virtually everything. As our first love, we should be placing God as our priority above anything, anyone else in our lives. And we need to go back to our first love. When we first met Jesus, you know, we prayed about that couple that's possibly having a divorce and praying that they'd go back to their first love. Well, sometimes our hearts get indifferent, and I don't want to get ahead of my message, but we can get indifferent with God. We can just be going through the motions. And the very first time that we accepted Christ in our heart, you know the age you were, but there was a spiritual awareness that you had never experienced before. And no matter what age you were, and you ask Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, you fall in love with Him. You learn about Him, and you want more, right? Mm-hmm. That's what God's all about. There's a reason why you come to church every week. It's because you're hungry for God, I would imagine. That has to be the reason. And to spend time in His presence and worship and all of that. So how do we fall in love with Jesus? And if we are the bride of Christ, shouldn't we be in love with our groom? Shouldn't we show our love to our groom? And Psalms 91 kind of sheds some light on this. And it says, just that first verse, and then I want to read the rest of it here in a minute. But it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." And if you had, why don't you go ahead and turn to that, Psalms 91, if you have your Bibles, because I want to look at it just a little bit more of what it says. Starting with verse 3, we're going to continue, okay? Psalms 91:3 says, "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I love that, for he has set his love upon me. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, that I will deliver him, I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I love Psalms 91. It has so many rich nuggets of what happens when we dwell into our secret place, when we spend time with God, and when we truly set our focus on him and our love on him, what he does. We have, within our heart, we have the ability to love someone. We have the ability to hate someone, don't we? We have the ability to be indifferent. You know, we have the ability, if they're not even close to us, you know, they're just an acquaintance as opposed to a spouse or a friend, close friend. Our heart has different degrees of being able to respond to in relationships, doesn't it? And so how does your heart respond with your relationship with God? Is he an acquaintance? Is it something that you just do on Sundays and then you just kind of forget about God for the rest of the week? You know, and then you come back, oh yeah, I remember you on Sunday. Or, you know, maybe on Sundays, like, and through the rest of the week, you're dwelling on and you're thinking about God and you're loving on him, spending time in his word, you know, praying to him. Just think about, you don't have to answer, but just think about where your relationship is with God and to what degree you dwell with him. And the New King James Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place, which is emphasizing a time spent with, it shows a habitation or a living or abiding in the secret place. He who dwells, okay? It doesn't say he who passes through the secret place, does it? Dwells means that you're stopping and you're taking some time. What is the secret place? It is that place you spend time with God in. It is God himself. And if we wait and dwell in the secret place, we shall behold him. And it takes time. We all know that relationships take time to develop, right? Be it with our family. If you're dating someone, you know, all of these things take time. Even with our church family. And just getting to know each other, all of it takes time. If we never spent any time with each other, we would just be acquaintances. I love it that we get to come every Sunday now and get to be with each other. A whole fellowship we started just once a month in my house, right, in my living room, and then it moved to here, this Quality Inn, and then we did it twice a month on Friday nights. But you guys were longing for more because you came to me and you said, what about Sundays? And so first it was, where do you go on Sundays? And then it was, can Hope Fellowship do something on Sundays? And so out of your cry, we started doing fellowship, a Hope Fellowship every Sunday morning. And I pray that it fulfills the needs inside you that you're looking for when it comes to that fellowship with other people and time with God. But, you know, that's why we come together. And it does take time. Quality time spent with someone brings much reward, doesn't it? And one thing that I am determined to do at Hope Fellowship is this. I am determined to keep this a family atmosphere. All right? And we're going to be starting to go into the holiday season here pretty soon. And we have planned some really, I think, decent, fun things to do because we're a family. And what do families do around the holidays? And so, it's okay, bud. We get together, don't we? And we're going to spend some time eating, and so we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner lunch after a Sunday service before Thanksgiving. And I think that'd be wonderful because this is a hotel. We can set up tables and chairs and, you know, have the crock pots out or whatever we're going to do. And everybody does a potluck and we're going to enjoy each other. So, and then at Christmas time, we're actually going to have a Christmas Eve service. And the Christmas Eve is on a Monday. So the Sunday, the 23rd, we're going to actually in the middle of the message, we're going to put up a Christmas tree, and that'll be part of the message, and we'll come back and talk. But then on Christmas Eve, we'll have our service, and everybody will have a gift under the tree, everybody, and it'll have your name on it, okay? That's what families do, don't we? Mm-hmm. So we care for each other. So yeah, James, did you have a question?
I know what Christmas is about.
Do you know what Christmas is about?
Yep.
What's it about?
It's his birthday.
That's right, bud. And we don't ever want to forget that, right? Aren't you thankful that he came as a baby and we get to celebrate?
It's also cool that he was a baby.
Yeah, I think it is.
He wasn't.
So that's what we are. We're a family, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to start looking at the holidays in that respect, too. But we can't expect to have a close, intimate relationship with our spouse or with our friends if we never spend time with them. And I know firsthand, as my husband and I, we can drift apart a little when we don't spend time together. We end up going through the motions of marriage and being in love, but the intimacy is lacking. And we don't share in each other's joys or connect with each other's emotionally or physically because, you know, it's like we're just so busy or we just have our schedule. This happens sometimes in any relationship, right? And when we take the time to not only notice each other, but to actually show affection towards each other, it brings a bond that no one can ever sever, right? And so I love that. And it brings a close intimacy that is very personal and rewarding. It brings security and acceptance. I don't know if you realize this, but in any relationship, that's what it's all about. Do you feel secure? If you feel secure, then you'll start opening up more, right? But if you don't feel secure, the walls are up. And so that's what God is trying to say here with revival of our heart, that we can let the walls come down with him and we can allow him because it's a safe place. God is a safe place, right? Mm-hmm. Do you love God? Amen. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we allow our hearts, our walls to come down and say, okay, God, I let you have every area of my life. This is how it is with Christ. He is the rewarder to those who diligently seek him. But without faith, no one can please God. We must believe that God is real and that he rewards everyone who searches for him. That's Hebrews 11:6. Are you searching for him? One of the rewards of seeking and searching and spending time with him is feeling loved by an all-knowing and all-loving God. So revival of our hearts will bring a deeper love for our God. That's what we need. Mm-hmm. Whether we know it or not, this is what we need, okay? There's a writer called S.J. Hill, and he's a Christian writer, and he expresses it well. He says this. He says, the human heart was made for passion. It was created for relationship. It was designed to experience the fullness of God. That's how we're made. Every one of us. We're designed and created to receive all that God has for us. And we were created for intimacy with God. It's supposed to be, and it is, a natural thing to have a relationship with God. That's why God created Adam and Eve, mankind, because he wanted to have communication and fellowship. Okay? So that's pretty cool when that is the ultimate reason why we were created. We are created for intimacy, and it's a natural thing to desire a close relationship with God. This is filling the hole, the spot all humans try to fill in life, because remember now, that's the ultimate reason why he wanted to have this fellowship, this communion with us, and so we were created. And so once the communion happens, we feel fulfilled. But a lot of times, people on this earth either reject God or they don't feel like they need to give him their... put him in that hole of for Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And they walk around feeling empty. They try everything. They'll go to drugs, to alcohol, to women, to, you know, there's all these things. And that's what God ultimately is supposed to fulfill, right? That hole. And so we want to allow God to have that place and let him have us totally and completely in this relationship. So now, knowing that we were created for a relationship with God, we can pursue that relationship with all passion and fervor, with our whole heart. And sometimes we might find indifference in our spirit about being with God. And we might feel complacent or in a rut. And there might be some reasons why we feel that way. Did you know that sin can cause indifference in us? If we settle for less than a passionate relationship with God, we will start to die and eventually fall into a rut or a pit. We become grave tenders of our lives instead of living life to its fullest. And we see other people living life and enjoying it, yet in our own lives we are dead. And we tend our very own grave, and oftentimes we fight or force others to stay away from our grave. Leave me alone. Or I like what I am. Or I'm just going to stay over here. Possibly because we don't want to get hurt. Possibly because we don't want to give God our whole heart. A.W. Tozer states in his book, Rut, Rot, and or Revival, that we are in a circular grave. When we sin, or when sin has entered our hearts, we end up in a circular grave. And sin will separate us from God. And this is a fact. So that circular grave has no ending and no beginning. In other words, you can't remember when or how you got in the mess you are in. And you can't find a way out on your own. And you're dead inside, so there's therefore no life to even try to get out. You see no hope and no way of escape. Did you know that a dead corpse has no way of reviving itself? A dead corpse needs intervention from a living source to bring life back to it. Don't fool yourself by thinking you can get out of this circular grave on your own. Allow the giver of life to break new life, bring new life back into your dead places in your heart. Allow God to show and direct you out of your circular grave. So if you've been feeling like you're dead inside, if you've been feeling like you're not getting anywhere, if you feel like there's got to be more than just what I'm doing, it's possibly, probably, that you're in a circular grave. It will cost you your control and it will cost you your pride, but it is well worth having new reviving life back into your spirit again. And so again, if you feel dead inside, God wants to revive your heart. Okay, sometimes we need to get those paddles going, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a natural example of how when someone's heart stops beating, it can't start on its own, that it needs some kind of outer source that would bring it back to life, right? And so I am here to tell you today, if you feel dead inside, I'm not the one to bring you back to life. The source is God, and he wants to totally and completely revive your heart. And so it's just up to you if you want to go to that life source and allow him to do that. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Ouch. A lot of times people just want to hear sermons on bless me, bless me, bless me. Grace, grace, grace. But I'm here to tell you, if God was constantly giving us grace, then he wouldn't need Jesus to go to the cross to die for our sins, would he? If that's how he created us. No. What Jesus did on the cross is complete. But he did it because of the sins that we would commit. The things, you know, sin is probably a churchy word, but it's really saying the choices that we make that don't please God, the things that we're doing, the bad attitudes, or the, you know, we can think of the Ten Commandments, but we can think of more, you know, gossip or sometimes swearing can even mess us up. Do you know that? Because that gets in our spirit, and then we end up. First of all, it's not a good witness. Secondly, it just gets in your spirit, and what is inside you will come out, especially in a hard situation. And if that is coming out of you, that's actually showing you that you're filling yourself not with godly stuff. You're probably filling yourself with stuff that doesn't please God, and then, therefore, here comes the swearing and some other stuff. You know, this is just simple stuff. But sin can be anything that separates us from God. We need a Savior. And receiving Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior is the first step to a revival in your heart. But there is more to repentance than just receiving Christ in your heart. Did you know that? If one is truly repentant, they will turn 180 degrees in the opposite direction of their bad choices, of the sin. But Pastor Chris, I thought we lived under grace. Well, we do, but I'm telling you what, I'm a firm believer that we can walk away from that grace by our choices. The grace is always available to us, but we want to live our life to please God, not to live our life to please ourselves, okay? Satan will try and trip us up in sin, and this causes bondage in our hearts and spirit and a barrier preventing our hearts to be revived. You know, just being aware that sin separates us from God helps us to do our best to stay away and even run from the appearance of evil. So let's say you're given a choice. I could fudge on my taxes. I'm just going to use it as an example. I don't know if any of you have, okay? So, but I can fudge on my taxes and say, and don't claim a certain amount of money, or claim this certain receipt when it had nothing to do with, you know, what I'm saying I've done. Does that make sense? So, I can say I claim this amount of money, or I don't say I got this amount of money because it was all under the table, and then therefore I don't have to pay taxes on it. Okay, well, maybe for that year we got away from we didn't have to pay the taxes on that. But you know what? God sees our hearts. God sees what we do. And in reality, we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. So then it's like, oh, even in the secret places, even in when no one's looking, God wants to know if you really do love him and will obey him in the big things and the little things. Do you remember giving you an example of me with chewing gum? Do you remember me telling you that example? And I'm a gum chewer, and whenever I'm done with the gum and I'm driving down the road, oftentimes I'll just spit it out the window. Used to. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. And actually, God dealt with me many, many, many years ago about this. So I would just chew my gum. That's pretty good. And then the flavor's gone. And so, you know, I don't want it anymore, and out it goes. And it's just a simple thing. I'm all by myself, but the Lord was saying, why are you doing that? I just felt him say that to me. And I'm like, well, I want to get rid of it. Get it out of my mouth. And it's like, well, just grab a piece of paper and put it in there and throw it in the garbage, or just throw it in the garbage. Okay, it's pretty simple, right? But my flesh just wanted to get rid of it. So God was telling, no one was around, nobody knew this sin in my life. Okay, it's not a big deal, but I'm just trying to use it as an example. And so I had to get to the point to go, okay, even in this situation, God, I want to please your heart. Why would I want someone to step on my piece of gum? It was probably me when you stepped on gum, all right? Way back when. So God wants to know in the little things, in the big things, that we obey him. A.W. Tozer also states, since only sin offends God and sin is extremely deceitful, it can be present doing its deadly work while the people may not be aware of it at all until it is called to their attention. Oh, I'm tough. I'm strong. I know when I'm sinning. Sometimes we just do things in the flesh and we think we're okay. But in reality, it's not what God wanted us to do. It's not the best that he has chosen for us. But we just do it because it pleases the flesh. Can I get a witness? Yeah. All right. And it's really deceitful. You might not even see that you're in the middle of doing it. It might be an attitude or something you say out of your mouth. And then it happens and it happens and it happens. And then all of a sudden, it's just this big thing. And you said, how did I get here? Okay. So we want to be careful with that. Sin separates us from God. Once you realize the sin that is causing you to feel separated from God, immediately repent and ask God to forgive you. The short-term pleasure of sin is not worth the long-term separation from God. So So this is just reviving of our hearts. If you feel dead inside, if you feel indifferent, let's make sure that sin is not the issue. Okay? We can take care of that right away, can't we? Maybe it's our attitude or how we look at life or how we look at God or how we look at ourselves could be the issue of why we don't feel revived inside. The after effects of sin is not worth the pleasures of pleasing God and being close to Him. Did you know that? The pleasure or the after effects of sin, the consequences that we have to walk through are not worth it. Trust me, I know this. Speaking from experience, it's not worth it compared to when I do walk uprightly and follow His ways. And I know that God is pleased, okay? And that Him and I are close. That is tremendous. And so compared to the amount of short-term pleasure that I get from walking in sin, it is natural to be a better person when we are closer to God. And it is natural to experience more of God and His love when sin is not in the picture. So allow God to show you right now if you have sin in your life that is separating you from Him. You know, take the time to repent and walk away from the debilitating and crippling sinful action. I think we just don't realize the seriousness of it. Okay? If Jesus was to come today, where would you stand? Okay. Now, Romans 8:15 from the Message Bible says, "This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, 'What's next, Papa?' God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance." That's pretty cool how the Message Bible says that verse. Nothing is worth missing out on our inheritance from God. No sin is so good that it overshadows what we receive from God. No earthly pleasure is more pleasurable than getting closer to God and experiencing His joy and abundant life He has for us. Amen? Okay. The sacrifice of leaving our sin behind is nothing compared to the relationship we gain with God. Hallelujah. Okay, so God likes to give us little surprises or gifts daily to His children. Did you know that? And we will see them. He loves us, just like if we love our children, we like to give gifts to them, just for no apparent reason, except that we love them. Well, that's what God does with us. Can you think of your life this week? What are some things that just out of the blue was a surprise, a good surprise? You know, did you give glory to God for it? Because we know that blessings and good things come from God, and all things work together for our good, okay? But I think sometimes we overlook God's little surprises that He's trying to give us, just thinking, oh, well, that's great, okay, that's cool. Well, just like today when I found out that we're not being charged for the month of September to be at the Quality Inn. That's a huge little surprise, isn't it?
Yeah.
A huge little. That's a wonderful thing. I don't chalk it up to anything except God's goodness and that He wants to give that little surprise to us. When someone loves another, it is natural to give gifts to them. And I remember one Valentine's Day, my poor husband, I'm using him as a couple examples, but I don't know if you remember this, Ron, but before we were married, I was living with my mom at the time, and my husband got up early. Actually, he was my soon-to-be husband, and drove over to my house and left a huge box. I mean, it was like an apple crate box, you know, that big on my front door. And he had decorated it, put a white paper around it with hearts and everything. And then inside it was, any kind of Valentine's treat you can think of, chocolates and candies and just all of these things, you know. And you wouldn't think this because he's a pretty quiet guy, but he's pretty cool too. And so when I came out of my house to go to work that day, there was this box. And we had, I don't even know, we maybe were dating a few months. And so I'm like, oh, awesome. And so I put it in my bedroom, and I couldn't wait to get home from work that day so I could start devouring some of these delicious yummies. It was a wonderful surprise, okay? And he did that because it was Valentine's Day, and he did it because I'm sure he wanted to let me know that he was thinking of me, and who knows what other reasons. And so that was a wonderful treat. It was a wonderful surprise. It made my day. Ann?
I just wondered, can I share a testimony after we're
done? Okay, hang on. Okay. All right. I have found God will do the same things with us. Do you know that? He will give us little surprises out of the blue. I will stumble onto something or receive something unexpected. It might be a loving verse in the Bible or hearing from a longtime friend. It might be something simple as walking outside and hearing the birds singing. Because, you know, I like to think that God directed them to sing that little love song for me. He's like, you know, okay, that's my little creative mind going. It might be news of some organization wanting some of my writings. And I'm telling you, that's what happened one day. And I'll tell my story, and then, Anne, I know that you want to say something. So I was, this was when my kids were pretty young, and when I wrote my first book, The Garbage Man Always Comes on Friday, I was in Walmart. Did I tell you this story? And out of the blue, an agent from Zondervan Publishing called me. Okay, so I answered it, cell phone, I'm at Walmart. And they said, we would like to put a quote from your book, The Garbage Man Always Comes on Friday, in our newest today's NIV devotional Bible. And it's for the classic writers and also upcoming fresh new voices. And we consider you a fresh new voice. And we would like to put this quote from your book in this Bible. And I'm like, I was thinking someone was playing a trick on me. Because Zondervan Publishing Company is huge, right? And why would they call me? Except, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I want to act real cool. Okay. They said, we just need your permission. So we're going to email you a form that you say you give us permission to be able to use this quote. And I said, well, could you email me the quote so I can see it? And then, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, please let it be something I wrote and not quoted someone else, you know, in my book, because you'll see I quote other people and give them credit. But so I'm all excited, jumping up and down, and my poor kids are like, Mom. But I'm just like, you know, elated. And sure enough, I got home, checked my email, and there was this email with the actual quote, and it was something I wrote. Yay. And I mean, what Christian author does not want to have a quote from their book in a Bible? I'm saying, okay? So that was a wonderful, beautiful surprise that God gave me that day. Ann, what did you want to say? Say it loud, because I'm recording this.
Well, I just wanted to say we've been kind of going through a trial right now. And anyways, right in the midst of the trial, I just got my grandkids, which just got taken away from CPS, or taken by CPS. And then immediately, right after that, we got hit with the VISTA showed up, and they were ready to shut us off. Mm. And we didn't know what we were going to do. We, like, had no money whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
And my husband went down to the VA, and the VA was willing to pay the entire bill for us to give electricity turned back on.
That's wonderful.
And then God also opened up the door for Rob to make some more money because our truck payments due, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, right in the middle of this really horrific, to me, horrific storm that I'm going through right now, God just blessed us and took care of the, you know, just one problem that we weren't even expecting.
Amen.
It just showed up the same day. Everything else went
chaotic. So. What an awesome. Amen. What an awesome surprise that God gave you that day. You know, to me, it just makes me go, he's just loving on me. He's taking care of us. Or he's just showing you that today, I've got your number, and I know the ache in your heart, and I'm going to take care of this for you. Out of the blue, these wonderful surprises happen. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. You're his child, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so be looking for him. And don't just say it's a coincidence or it just is what it is. No, I believe wholeheartedly this is God showing you he's alive and well and he sees you and he wants to love on you. You know what? In turn, I like to give gifts to God. And it might be taking the time to stop and thank him for my life. It might be times where I just worship him for who he is. He is my life. And it might be helping someone or giving to someone in need, as the scripture states. And the king will reply to them, "Truly, I tell you, insofar as you did it for one of the least in the estimation of men, of these, my brethren, you did it for me." Matthew 25:40. So there's ways we can give gifts back to God. This is a revival of the heart. If the lover of our soul gives us gifts, if our spouse or a friend gives us a gift, don't you want to in turn give them a gift back? It's like Christmas time, you know, and you're giving gifts to each other, your close family members. You just want to give. You don't want to always get, right? It feels good. And they open the gift up and they love it. Right? You want to give them something that they like, not something that you like. So think about what God likes. What are some things, you don't have to answer, but just think this week, what are some little gifts you can give or big gifts you can give God this week? Because he is the lover of our soul. And our relationship with my relationship with the lover of my soul is precious. He takes my breath away. I wake up in the morning and I know I am going into my prayer time. I'm excited and filled with love for the one I will be spending time with. You know, do you spend time with God? It doesn't have to be in the morning, but are you excited just to pray? Because he's there and he hears our cry. Every time I think about God deep inside of me, I sense a love and respect for him. And what a joy. What a life to have a personal love relationship with the creator of the universe. And we get to have this relationship with him. He desires intimacy with all of us. Our Creator longs to spend time with us like a lover should. And when we give God our whole heart and treat him like a lover, he revives us. Our loneliness vanishes and is replaced with awareness of his constant presence abiding every second of every day. You ever just been going through your life, going through your day, and all of a sudden it's just an awareness of God is totally in your life and you love him and he loves you. I remember just a few days ago, I was singing a song, or actually, I wasn't even singing the song. I was just going, "Lord, I am just so blessed. You just bless me." And then I remembered this song way back in the 70s. I couldn't even believe that I could remember the words to this song. I don't know if I should sing it to you, but it's called "I'm Blessed." Do you ever hear that song? It was back in the 70s. Okay, I'll sing it, but it goes like this. And I remembered every phrase as I was saying it. It goes, "I'm blessed and I know that I am because Jesus got a hold of my life." You ever heard that? "I'm blessed and I know that I am because he promised to me a new life. I'm blessed because he walks with me and he leads me wherever I go. And if you happen to ask me, how are you, my friend? I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed." And so I started singing this song that hadn't sung since the 70s, okay? Everywhere I go, and so this is 2012, okay? Everywhere I go, I'm singing this song because I just felt the joy of the Lord bubbling up inside. I could see him in my life. I could see him taking care of my family. You know what? Open your eyes to what God is doing in your life because he's doing awesome things. So we serve a mighty God, and he loves us. He's the King of Kings, and he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. I have probably enough for...